Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October sky.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. And when I get crazy markets, I got to go for some straight money analysis, and that means I got to call my man, Joe Meyer, Meyer & Associates, straightmoneyanalysis.com. What do you say, Mr. Meyer?
Good morning, Todd. Thank you and the Bubba Show for having me this morning. Always an extreme pleasure to visit with you and the listening audience, Todd.
It's always good to have you on, and you do bring a lot of straight talk. I mean, you're an old man. You're like me. You've been around forever, and you know, when you live in investing and trading years, you're like, you live, that's like dog years. It's like every year is like 7 years, because there is so many things that happen and go on through the markets. And I want to kind of walk back a little bit and kind of bring everybody kind of up to date of what you see and what I see, and where we are in the whole big scheme of this economy. And I think the first part that I want to ask you about and talk to you about is the Federal Reserve.
Okay.
We have, you know, we go back a couple of weeks ago when the big announcement, you know, it was such a huge ordeal back on about the 18th of September, and they're going to raise rates, And I said, there is no chance they're raising rates. In fact, I bet cash money on it live on air with somebody saying that there's no way they're raising rates. And I don't believe they can. And of course, they came out with the announcements. The markets flew up and then, of course, sold off. And then a week later, our great fearless Fed chair came out and kind of changed her speech. And the markets have kind of rallied since that point. What was your take, and what are your thoughts of the interest rate environment at this point?
Well, I was somewhat surprised by the Fed's posture, but I agree wholeheartedly with you. They're locked in a position where certainly the fundamentals of the economy will not allow for a rate increase, I believe, anytime soon. Having said that, I think the markets can continue to move to the upside. As I had said in our last show together, Todd, I believe the markets are locked in a trading range, 18,351 to the upside and approximately 15,000 to the downside. But I do think at some point as we get into the new year, we're probably going to see renewed talk of a hike in Fed interest rates. It's not a question of if, it's just a question of when.
But when you look at the picture, okay, I can't find one thing good. Now, everybody keeps saying, you know, the Fed is data dependent, and you continue to hear talk that the economy is in good shape, it's improving. I don't see it. I I'm not thinking about the stock market now, but the overall economy, I don't see it. Tell me why I'm wrong. Tell me where there is actual true growth. Tell me what is good about this economy.
Well, I wish I could, but unfortunately I'm unable to. I think we've got a lot of structural problems in the economy. I believe they've been worsening now for quite some time. And quite honestly, again, I don't see them turning around anytime too soon. So I agree wholeheartedly with you, Todd.
So where is, you know, last week Ben Bernanke was on Maria Bartiromo's show. And he's talking about, well, we have to be, you know, there is no hurry to raise rates. But isn't it better? I mean, you've been around, again, 44 years? Is that your term?
44 years on the street, yeah. 50 years in the market. I started in 1966.
Okay, so, I mean, isn't there a better alternative to what the way that they're handling this? I mean, I just read a quote. I mean, I use it all the time, but, you know, John Maynard Keynes in 1927 said there'll be no more crashes in our lifetime. And of course, we've only had about 20 since then. But I mean, what could they possibly be looking at? What is could possibly be on their mind at the way that they're manipulating and trying to maneuver and financially engineer this market?
Well, I think you've got to look at the big picture. We've got all the world economic central banks of the world certainly now looking at their economies in unison. You know, this global economy has changed everything. And I think we've become too dependent over the years on the role of the Fed and certainly the influence they have in these markets, which I think now has been greatly diminished.
So as we look at the Fed, so let's talk about the Fed for a minute. Does the Fed have a real purpose in this world?
Well, I don't think it's the purpose, certainly going back to the days in which it was mandated, certainly to control inflation and to keep unemployment very low. I think that mandate has changed. You know, their role now is to continue to keep liquidity in the markets, keep the dollar strong, and I think people look towards the Fed as being the beacon of light as to where all these markets are going, and I don't think that's any longer the case.
Now, I'm from the school that I believe that, first of all, the Fed has been day trading the market, basically, because most of the decisions and speeches come out around stock market movement. That was never in their mandate to day trade the stock market. And B, don't you think they should mind their own damn business and stay away from actual free markets? Because they've really turned this not into a free market, but more into a socialist type of market now.
Well, I think they should stay out of the market. I think we've had too much intervention in these markets by all the central banks of the world. And I think people have become very keyed in on these short-term moves in the market. And I think we've got to get back to the big story theme of where these markets are headed, Todd, in the long term.
So in your long-term view, Joe, what do you see in the long term? I mean, if I were to say, you know, 6 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, what do you see?
Well, I think we're on the cusp of a very severe bear market. You know, I did a little research looking at the previous 9 bear markets we've had going back to the crash in 1929, right up to the last bear market we had commencing in October 2007. And ironically, over those 9 previous bear markets, the average bear market loss, Todd, was 43.9%, and the average bear market duration was about 21 months. So if we see an average bear market unfolding, certainly in 2016, which I think we will, and we've seen the highs, which again I agree with you, at 18,353, a 43.9% correction would equal a potential Dow of about 10,278. So we could be looking at a 7,000-8,000 point decline top to bottom before this next bear market is over, and that would be just on average of what we've experienced in the previous 9. It may even be a full 50% correction. I don't think you can rule it out.
Now, I'm gonna frame this question for you, and I want you to think about it when we go to the break here, but do you believe that because there has been so much Federal Reserve intervention in this market and so much government regulation, the Dodd-Frank Act, all the things that have really created much more heartburn than they should have, do you believe that the collapse could be even bigger because of all these things, because they've kicked the can down the road so long, because they've developed the currency wars, because we've got every central bank around the globe fighting to get their currency to zero? I'm visiting with my friend Joe Meyer, straightmoneyanalysis.com, and I'm just telling you, check it out. Check out what he writes. Go to his website. He has a lot of great things to say. And, you know, again, he's going to give you the views that he sees based on the analysis and things that he does. But I've found nobody better that does just a straight basic analysis without his opinion, but more strictly by the book. So make sure you go check it out. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you check out thebubbashow.org. We, again, as I always say, we are writing things that you won't hear about in the Wall Street Journal for 6 months from now, but they will show up because we're well ahead of the curve at The Bubba Show. So check it out. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz with Joe Meyer, straightmoneyanalysis.com. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Wake up, Maggie. I think I got something. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with Joe Meyer, StraightMoneyAnalysis.com. Meyer & Associates, 50-year veteran of trading, 44 on the street. You know, Joe, that's a hell of an accomplishment, man. I don't know. I don't think I could. I'm 36. I don't know if I can make another eight. You know, it's like a grind. But anyways, so I gave you a long question before I went to break, and it basically had to do with the Fed, the currency wars, and all the ridiculous regulations, which have really turned us in from a capitalist free market society into a socialist society. What's your answer?
Well, I think we're in unprecedented times, and I think these markets have been in uncharted waters now also for quite some time. And I think when you take a look at the leverage and the speculation we've had in this market, I think the only other time period you could compare it to is what we witnessed in the 1920s. Having said that, I agree wholeheartedly with you that the decline could be somewhat even greater than a full 50% correction. You know, going back to that market in 1929, we suffered an 86.1% loss from the top to the bottom. We had a top September 1929, 381 in the Dow, and we didn't put the bottom in place till July 1932 at 41. So I think there is the potential that this bear market, when it unfolds, I think it'll be a super cycle bear market. I think it could probably last even longer than most people would want to believe. And I don't think we can rule out a minute that this market could retrace the entire advance from the 6470 level in the Dow and 670 in the S&P and go back down and test those levels one more time to put in place the bear market bottom, Todd. I can't rule it out.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's not that we want to be negative about what's going on, but one of the things that Joe and I both know is that markets themselves, without any intervention, markets themselves know how to price the current worth. Would you agree with that, Joe?
Well, I think we're going to witness moving ahead, certainly a repricing of all asset classes and a repricing of the currencies in which they're valued in. I think that's ahead of us at a minimum. The question is, how severe will it be? How quickly will it unfold? And what can you and should you be doing to certainly benefit from it? I think those are the keys.
No, but I understand that. But what I'm saying is that, I mean, free markets, I mean, you know, if you've got a product for sale, okay, and you're asking 100 and somebody's only going to offer you 80, you can sell it at the 100. You can compromise somewhere in between, or you can sell it at the 80, but that's, you're making a market, which is a free market that anybody can make, and markets themselves. I mean, even, you know, crude oil, for example, now, you know, crude's been obviously way down from the 107 it was last year, but the markets, you know, Goldman Sachs comes out and makes a $20 call, Citigroup comes out and makes a $20 call, but at the end of the day, free markets in those found a level, and they found the trading range between 44 and 48, in which there's an equal balance of buyers and sellers at those levels, and because of the Fed intervention and their interest rate policy right now, we are not truly having a free market trade. We're having a manipulated trade that is forcing money to chase yield into the equity markets, which is not creating what we would call a true free market. What do you think?
Well, I think we've got to always go back and understand that the one thing markets do well is reprice assets and reprice them fairly. And I think that's ahead of us, and I think we have to be patient, but I believe it will happen, and I think in a lot of instances it's going to shock people.
Now, when we look, you know, into the future here in the next, you know, couple of weeks, we've got, you know, the earnings season is starting, and of course Yum Brands got clocked. And one of the things that bothers me, Joe, is that, you know, right now a lot of these, you know, major, I guess worldwide companies you'd call them, they have a built-in excuse for missing numbers, which would be, you know, the dollar was too strong. We couldn't compete. But of course, you and I both know from being, you know, veterans of this market that is not a legitimate excuse, because currencies, like every other product in the world, can be hedged, and you should not, currency risk should never be a risk that should be associated with a company, especially a multinational, you know, a Caterpillar. A company, the Yum Brands, those companies should be able to hedge their dollars and not be at risk to the currency. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think, again, it's an excuse when they miss their earnings number, but I think it comes back to a fact no one wants to talk about. They're losing market share, and their market share is shrinking. That's the true reason they missed the earnings number.
So why are they losing market share? What is creating that loss of market share, in your opinion?
Well, I think we have more competition in all these markets than ever before. I think it's extremely difficult now to maintain profit margins. Everything is going up, even though we're being told we have very low inflation. And the markets are continuing to change, and companies are very slow in being able to change, certainly in the ways they have to keep competitive and compete. That's what I think.
So if we talk about, you know, inflation. Now, you know, if you've been to the grocery store, I don't see, I see a problem because I'm paying more for goods and services today than I was before, and I'm making less money than I was making.
Absolutely.
So what do you call that?
Well, we call it price inflation, and that's exactly what it is. And wages have been flat, as you know, for some time, and it's increasingly difficult to keep up and maintain your buying power. It's a time in which you're now in a foot race with prices, and wages just cannot keep up, and they've been flat for far too long. I think wages adjusted for inflation, Todd, have been flat going all the way back to 1965. Few people realize that.
So why can't the Fed see that there's inflation? Why do they keep saying that there's no inflation? Of course, they do exclude food and energy, which, gee, I don't know. I think we do that, use it every day, I believe. You know, I don't know how many times you buy a computer, but certainly I know we eat and fill up our cars every day. So why do they say that there's no inflation? What is their gauge? What the hell are they looking at?
Well, they can't justify the continued pumping of liquidity into the markets. They can't continue to support these markets if they're going to recognize and certainly believe for a minute that inflation is certainly far greater than what we're being told and what we believe. You know, we've had a tremendous amount of money pumped into these markets over the last several years. As you know, we had the Fed balance sheet go from around $800 billion to $4.3 trillion. They cannot continue to pump the kind of money they have over the years into these markets much longer. I think this is an ending rather than a beginning, and I think few people want to acknowledge that fact, Todd. I really do.
You mean this is all we get for $4 trillion?
That's about it.
I mean, it's amazing when you think about it that the Fed is putting $4 trillion into this system, and we basically have got, I believe, worse. Go ahead. Joe?
Yeah, go ahead.
You had something to say? Go ahead, say it. It's good. I'll wait. Go ahead.
Well, this is all we can certainly see for the massive amount of liquidity that's been pumped into the markets. You know, these wars that have been going on are very expensive. These social programs are very expensive. Unfortunately, the trillions of dollars that went into the system never found their way into the pockets of the average consumer. I think that's the biggest problem.
Well, but I thought that Mr. Obama was supposed to, if I remember his campaign, he had Joe the Plumber, and Joe the Plumber was going to unplug that drain, and the money was supposed to trickle down to everybody. But somehow, I guess he didn't have the right tools, because that money never trickled down to the middle class, did it?
Well, not only did it never trickle down to the middle class, we never created the decent paying jobs we were told were going to happen. We never started to look at rebuilding the infrastructure of America, which we could have done with part of the money that went into banking and Wall Street. And people are now working these low-wage, minimum-paying jobs, and it's just an impossibility to be able to keep up and certainly maintain your lifestyle. That's the problem. The stock market's not, in my humble opinion, a true reflection of the underlying economy, and hasn't been for several years.
Well, and of course, you know, we are. I guess that's what happens when you get old dogs. They kind of think the same theory. But now, I have another theory. I believe that the big rally that we had on that jobs number from the bottom, we rallied over 900 points from the bottom. I believe that the street believes that there's a QE4 coming. Now, I want you to wait till we come back from the break and answer that question, but do you think that is possible will be the question. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I am with my friend Joe Meyer, straightmoneyanalysis.com. You got to check him out, and he's going to explain exactly what that is when we come back from the break as well. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop by for a break. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend Joe Meyer, straightmoneyanalysis.com. Joe, before we get into the question, I want you to tell us about Straight Money Analysis. What is it? How does it work? What are you doing for it? Because I love the product. I read it all the time, but I want you to explain to the listeners exactly what it is.
Straight Money Analysis is a unique publication, unlike, as you know, Todd, any other currently in the marketplace. I write from a historical perspective on the U.S. economy. I write about the global economies of the world. I write about both the stock and bond markets. We write on the precious metals, both gold and silver. We also have commentary in every issue on crude oil and natural gas. And then finally, I write a pretty extensive commentary as well on Fed monetary policy. But we tell you what you need to know, we tell you why you need to know it, and lastly, we tell you what you can and should be doing about it. But I want to offer your listeners, out of my respect to you, Todd, as certainly a long-term market veteran and a good friend to me, a discount to your listening audience on the newsletter. I'm going to provide to anyone signs up for the newsletter a full one-year subscription, which is normally $259.95. And we'll give it to them at the six-month subscription price of $149.95, saving them $110 on the full one-year subscription. And we're honored to do it, certainly to your listening audience, Todd.
And we appreciate that, and I urge you to check it out. And how do they get to you, Joe? Where do they go to get the subscription?
Well, go to the straightmoneyanalysis.com website. We have a verified and secure PayPal terminal. Enter the six-month order, and then under Merchant Comments, put the Bubba Show, and we'll know you're a Todd Horowitz Bubba Show listener, and the six-month button will entitle you to a full one-year subscription of the newsletter, straightmoneyanalysis.com. People have any questions, they can always call, speak to me directly. My direct phone number here, area code 386, number 677-8642.
And we appreciate the offer. So, Joe, QE4, possible or not possible?
Oh, it's not only possible, it's very likely. The question is, I think, the timing of the announcement, but I think it's inevitable. I think at this point, this market may be already factoring that in.
And that was that's my contention for the rallying effect last week on Barney. I said it, I think everybody was sitting at the panel, they all fell off their chair. Like, what are you, nuts? And I go, hey, we've got, in my opinion, we've got a desperate Federal Reserve right now, and in my opinion, they have no idea of what they're doing. Again, I'm not saying that they're not smart people, but I think they've totally missed the boat, which they've done. Listen, they've done it since the inception of the Fed. They've never been on time or on target with what is needed for this economy. So I'm not surprised, but I certainly wouldn't be surprised if they again tried to pump in some more liquidity. As I coined the phrase back in 2010, they are trying to borrow their way out of debt. And you and I both know that is a certain recipe for disaster. What do you say?
Well, I think they're not only doing that. I think they're trying to buy time. I think they're trying to let these markets find fair valuation on their own. And I think at some point, the markets are going to do that. You know, we've not had normal corrections in this equity market now for a long, long time. And I think these markets, when they correct, are correcting now much more sharply than most people certainly have been expecting. I think when this rally is over, I think we may get to 17,200 in the Dow. We may even get to 17,500, although I think it's unlikely. I think the next time we go down and we revisit the recent lows, I think whether we hold them or not, it's going to tell the story of where we go in as we come into the year end and certainly into the new year, Todd. That's what I believe.
Now, you know, as I look around, and of course I bitch at the Fed all the time because I do think they've done a rotten job. In your opinion, as a 50-year veteran and, you know, and an analyst and the whole scoop, what would you do if I said, okay, Joe Meyer, you are the new Fed chair? What steps would you take right now in your mind that would help the economy overall? Because, again, we can't be short-sighted. This is a, you know, obviously a long-term fix. What would you say would be the correct steps to take in this market?
Well, I think at some point they're going to have to raise interest rates. I think it's going to be more psychological and cosmetic than it's certainly going to be, you know, financial insofar as to how it affects the markets. I think the markets can handle a rate increase. I think if the rate increases are slow and I think the increment of increases are minimal, I think it would send a signal that the Fed finally realizes that at some point rates have to go up and they have to be raised, I think, very gradually. I think the key is how the market certainly handles that. I think initially the market can certainly weather the first couple of hikes in interest rates, again, if they're in small increments. But if we're going to see a QE4, the money has got to work its way into the economy. We start have to create some decent paying jobs. There's no way this economy can continue on life support. It really can't.
No, and again, I agree. I mean, I believe, and I don't care if they're not small. I believe that the only way that the country will survive, and the only way we can bring back in new jobs and bring back in entrepreneurs, okay, is to raise rates. Because the problem is we have what I like to call a liquidity lock to the average guy in the street. He can't borrow any money. No matter how cheap it is, he can't get it because, of course, why would a bank want to loan it to him? So I'm in big favor and have been that they need to raise rates. And if the stock market falls, so be it. What's the big deal? That's not – the stock market is not the generator of the country. It is not what makes us run. What makes us run is people working, making money, and then spending that money to continue to flow and complete, as we'll call, the circle of life or the circle of the economy. By having big companies just simply being able to borrow money and buy back their stock to show artificial growth is not the answer. And the only way that we can grow is by bringing back in small business, which we have totally almost eliminated throughout the last 7 years. What do you say?
Couldn't have said it better. You know, we've got over $2 trillion that corporations have parked overseas. Those $2 trillion, if they were to come back to the shores of America and be put into building plants and equipping them, would go, I think, a long way in turning this economy around. Will that happen? Who knows? But I hope at some point it does. Couldn't agree with you more. We've got to create some decent paying jobs. We've got to bring the jobs back from overseas. Not a question of if, it's a question of when. We have to do it.
Now don't you think, now, you know, we'll take Apple, for example. I forget what they have, but they have an enormous amount of cash overseas. And they're not bringing it back because of the tax obligation. And I don't blame Apple. Listen, I would do the same thing, and you, as would you. okay? Because there's one thing about being benevolent and giving a little charity, but there's no reason to have to give away billions of dollars because you've got a ridiculous tax code in this country and you've got a bunch of dopes running the country. Okay, so wouldn't it make sense to say, hey, we'll cut your break, come back in here and build, we'll give you all kinds of tax breaks? I mean, guys like Elon Musk get billions of dollars in tax breaks because he does things here. Wouldn't it make sense to get everybody back here?
Absolutely, and it needs to be done. The sooner the better.
So, do you believe, again, you've been through a number of elections, you've had a number of presidents, and we're not going to talk whether or not this one's good or bad. I mean, again, I don't talk a lot of politics. I mean, I just don't like the overall position that we are in our government. I think it's way too big. I think that we throw away too much money. There's too many entitlement programs. We're spending more than we're taking in. And if you don't think that this could not become, the United States could not ever become a Greece, if we keep spending the way we are and taking in less, it could come into something like that, couldn't it?
Well, you know, when you want to talk about debt of the consumer, and I think we've now talked about it, do you know in the U.S. now we have debts for the consumer 35% higher than Greece? Six countries where consumers are now deeply in debt: Portugal, Spain, France, Greece, Italy, and the United States. Portugal has the smallest debt per consumer, $23,857. You know what the average debt is of the U.S. consumer? $53,378. But when you want to talk about corporate income tax, do you know we have the highest corporate income tax in the world, 39.1%? You know who has the lowest corporate income tax? Ireland, 12.5%.
So we need to make some adjustment. And again, it's not just the Fed, but the entire system, because, you know, when I look at things like Dodd-Frank is the most worthless piece of legislation I think ever put out to work, because what it really did is said, okay, screw all the small banks, screw all the individuals, because you guys don't have a choice. You cannot lend unless you have A, B, and C. And there is no longer, you go to your buddy, the banker, and you say, hey, you know, my crops aren't coming in the way I thought. I'm a little short to get through the season. I need some money. And, of course, the old-fashioned, old-time community bank will say, okay, you know, here it is, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, of course, now we don't have that. But I want to talk more about the banking when we come back. I'm with my friend Joe Meyer from StraightMoneyAnalysis.com. He's made a wonderful offer to all you who like to check out his newsletter. It's a great letter, StraightMoneyAnalysis.com. He's giving you a 50% off for $149 for a year. I would urge you to check it out. Go to StraightMoneyAnalysis.com and look at my man Joe Meyer, but a very handsome devil, too. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I am with Joe Meyer from StraightMoneyAnalysis.com, and I want to make sure that you check out TheBubbaShow.org, because again, as I say, we're well ahead of the curve, and we'll be bashing things before they ever hit the tape. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
After 10,000 beers and 28 years.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, as we bring it down into the home stretch, and we got our expert, 50-year veteran of Wall Street, done it all, been around the block four or five times, and Joe Meyer from StraightMoneyAnalysis.com. So, Joe, you know, I started ranting on, you know, I love to rant because I get pissed off at a lot of things, and I'm a big champion or chair for the underdog. And in my opinion, they have made the entire middle class now the underdog. And part of it has to do with a lot of these banking laws now. What are your thoughts on Dodd-Frank and the banking laws?
Well, you know, we were told there were going to be a lot of transparency in all these markets. We were told that the regulations that were certainly being put in place would make things better. But I think in a lot of ways it's hindered business and it's made it more difficult for small businesses and entrepreneurs, and certainly the ability to have access to credit. You know, we're in a different time, as I said earlier. These are unprecedented times. Again, these are uncharted waters we're in, both economically, I think financially, and with all the problems going on around the world, I've got to tell you, in my long career on the street, I've never seen things as screwed up as they are. There's so many problems that can come out of nowhere. There's so many black swans that could certainly start things down at any moment, and I think you have to be prepared for that. But until we can make capital accessible to small businesses, as you know, hire 90% of the new workers, we're simply not going to be able to turn this economy around within the scope of the big picture. That's the way I see it, Todd.
Well, and I agree with that, and I think that becomes back to the problem. But when you look and you say, okay, so here's what's going on. I mean, there's going to be a major flush out here somewhere because, again, now, you know, we went from the banks were so-called too big to fail, and I don't agree with that. And I've now made up my mind. I'll make the announcement now. You know, I kept wishy-washy on the original bailout. And now that I see the results of the original bailout, they should have just let the weak fall, and that should have been it. I mean, again, I know it would have been around the banks, it would have been ugly, but we'd be on our way out of this instead of still trying to figure our way out of it. And that, to me, is a bigger problem. We're 7 years in, we've devalued our currency, we're $4 trillion invested here, and we got nothing. But now we have a lot of companies that might be too big to fail. And in my eyes, Joe, I'm tired of bailing out everybody. I'd like somebody, you know, where are they when I need them and they need to bail out me? I'd like your comments on that, please.
Well, they're never going to be there to bail out you because that's part of the system. You know, you have to have the ability to weather difficult times. You have to have the ability to understand how things this time around are truly different than they are. You know, a lot of times in the market, people price in all the good news and they price in all the things they want to believe that are fundamentally driving these markets. You've got to take a look at the bigger picture, what's truly going on, what's going on beneath the surface, and how much risk you're actually taking in all these markets by being part of what is going on and what is happening. A lot of money has been made in these markets, but there's a lot of money that hasn't been taken out of these markets yet and or banked, and I think that's the risk moving forward. People want to believe this market can continue to go higher, and possibly it can, but I've got to come back to the risk I think you're taking by being long this market and believing we can make new all-time highs. I just don't see it.
I have to take issue with one thing you said. This time is different. Time isn't any different. The market's in the same. And there may be different circumstances about.
But what I mean by this time, it's different. This time, it's different because there are things that are going to happen that have never happened before, and that's what people don't want to realize, accept, and understand. And it is going to be different, a lot different than they've ever seen it prior.
What do you think is going to be different?
Well, I think when these markets start down, you know, we've had corrections which have been kind of orderly, even though they've been sharp in their duration. But I think when we start down the next time, I don't think we're going to be able to contain. I think the selling is going to come into this market. You're going to have everybody try to get out at the same time, and I think you're going to have a problem, you know, finding somebody to sell to.
Okay, so you don't think there's going to be buyers, but of course, in 1987, of course, you and I both remember that pretty well. I mean, you know, they had a 30% drop in one day, and they found buyers then. I mean, you know, in 08, you know, in 09, we found buyers. And I think now with the circuit breakers and the way that they run markets now, I don't think that it'll be one of those that you can never come back from. I do believe it's going to be ugly. I'm in agreement with you there. I do believe that we're well overdone and well overcooked, and the longer we try to keep our finger in the dam, the bigger the dam.
The worse it's going to be.
The worse it's going to be. But at the end of the day, there still will be buyers because there's always going to be, I think, value players that will be looking and saying, "Hey, this is a good opportunity." But I think the worst of it will be though that the people that can least afford another disaster will once again be the victims of another disaster. What do you say?
Exactly the way I see it, unfortunately.
And that's always the case. You know, the problem we have, Joe, I think, is always you have, you know, buy. And one of the biggest annoyances I find, especially, you know, as being a big part of the media as well, is that when somebody's talking about the markets and, well, we're bullish, buy, we're going up. And I go, that's fine. Okay, and I don't have a problem. Look, if you buy certain securities, I mean, if you're buying commodities at these levels, I think that's great. I think that's a smart play. However, What bothers me is when somebody gets on air and says, I'm so bullish ABC company. I go, great. Okay, no problem. And then they show the company ownership, the individual ownership, the family ownership, and the guy owns none of it. So if you're so damn bullish on this particular equity, how come you don't own it? And I think that's a bigger problem. What do you think?
Well, I think it's always markets first, stocks second. I think you've got to always keep in perspective where you are in the cycle within the market. You know, does the market have the potential to move higher and move higher for the right reasons? And I think when you look at owning underlying stocks in any given market, again, you've got to look at value. Is it under-owned, undervalued? Does it make sense? Are the technicals strong? Can they even improve from these levels? There's a lot of variables you have to look at to justify being part of the market. You can't be bullish 100% of the time, nor can you be bearish 100% of the time. You got to evaluate almost on a daily basis if you're in these markets. What am I doing and why am I doing it? And I think we lose sight of that.
You know, I agree with that. You have to be nimble. You have to be ready to move unless you have Warren Buffett's money and you can buy Goldman Sachs at 120 and watch it go to 30 and not have to bat an eye. But for most people, we cannot afford those kind of beatdowns, and we need to be hedged and have a portfolio that is rounded and hedged against that potential. What do you think about hedging portfolios like that?
Well, I think you have to do it. I think a lot of times people try to overshoot trades. They try to get more out of them than certainly the technicals will allow. And people are very reluctant when a trade works out to initially take part of the position off the table and let the rest of it run. It comes down to having discipline. It comes down to understanding, again, why you're in the markets and what you can and should be doing if you're part of them. Very important.
It is. Joe Meyer, it's always great to have you on. I love the perspective you bring. It's just a matter-of-fact way that you talk and bring things to us. And again, what's your website and your phone number again?
Website, straightmoneyanalysis.com. My direct line phone number, area code 386. My number is 677-8642.
We have been spending the day with a great friend of the program and really a smart guy. And again, you get it's straight money analysis because my man Joe's a straight shooter. And he's got nothing. He's offering you his newsletter, and I think that it's a great deal. I think it's a great value. I think that he does a great job with it. And again, it's not to lean or to predict one way or the other. He has no benefit on what you decide to do, but I believe that he brings a great opinion to the program, and we appreciate having him on. This is The Bubba Show. Make sure you check out thebubbashow.org. Again, I talk about this often, but you know, we are writing about things long before they hit the street. We were on top of, for example, just the hidden cities in China. We were talking about it a year before the Wall Street Journal ever picked up that news. And it's important stuff that will help you understand the markets better and make sure that you are always in the best position to be successful, because there are treacherous waters no matter what's going on, and it's always best to be prepared. This has been The Bubba Show. We had Joe Meyer today, straightmoneyanalysis.com. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station, The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, we'll see you later, everybody. Have a great day.
Wake up, Maggie. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.